Shavua Tov. Hope everybody had a beautiful Shabbat. As our custom, we start our week learning a little bit about the parasha and how can I apply it on my week. And this week, Parashat Beshalach has one of the most powerful parts of our Torah, what's called Parashat Haman. That a lot of people have the custom of reading it every day, that it's a very big remedy and power for building bitachon, building trust and emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that everybody's lacking. That the reality is that most of us don't have the right amount of bitachon. And this parasha, not only that it comes to give us the power for bitachon, but we find here a few good tips, because the reality is that we're constantly requested to have bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bitachon means faith and trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Emuna and bitachon, usually they'll come together. Emuna is faith and bitachon is trust. If you have trust, you'll have emuna. If you have emuna, you have trust. Usually they come together. It's pretty rare that somebody will have only trust in Hashem but not going to have faith in Hashem. But now we're going to concentrate more about bitachon, because every day we're faced with situations that are testing our faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to see if I have faith in Him, and more than that, if I trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a joke. It doesn't sound necessarily so good in English, but we'll say it first in Hebrew, and then we'll translate. But for the ones who understand Hebrew, they'll appreciate it more. So there was once a rabbi who took his students to the forest, and he told them, today I'm going to give you a class, shiur bebitachon, a class in bitachon. And he says, imagine now we're sitting here in the forest, and a big bear comes out of the woods, and we have such bitachon, such faith and trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that nothing's going to happen. And since we have such a strong trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the bear will just walk away. So as he's saying that, a huge bear comes out of the bushes, and the rabbi jumps on the tree, climbs all the way up, and goes all the way up to the highest branch, and he's holding for his life. Okay, the bear goes. As he comes down, the students tell him, Rabbi, you just said bitachon and have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the bear. The bear just came. You you were the first one on the tree. So he tells them in Hebrew, of course, yesh bitachon veyesh leyeter bitachon. So in Hebrew it sounds much better. The translation is, there's bitachon, there's faith, trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there's also just in case. So in Hebrew, of course, it sounds much better. Some jokes don't work well in English. But there's trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but sometimes I have to be just in case. I have to cover the ground. Which actually comes to bring us the question that what I want to address today is that, what is bitachon? What is trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu? You can climb on a tree. But we are requested to have bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to a point that one of our sages, Rabbeinu Yonah, he says that bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's actually a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah aseh from the Torah, a positive mitzvah from the Torah, to have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, if I don't have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm going against a positive mitzvah from the Torah. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah said. Now, what is this bitachon? I mean, if you're looking at it in one way, we are constantly placed in situations that my trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu is tested. How am I going to make money? Where am I going to live? This situation is happening now. Pitom, this person is calling me now with a problem. Every day I'm facing with these situations that I have to have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But even if I am trusting the Kadosh Baruch Hu, am I not trusting the Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's the level? What's the limit in trust? What is really the trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu? What, I'm just going to cover something on my eyes and walk in the street and have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's the fine line here? And how much I have to trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu? How much I have to put my trust in Him? Just blindly, I'll say, okay, I'm just going to sit here now and everything is going to come to me. And if I'm looking at it from a different angle, what? Now it means that everything that happens to me, I just have to trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I shouldn't initiate anything. Like this rabbi that climbed up on the tree, he says, Le'eter bitachon, just in case. What, I'm going to put myself in danger? So the big question is, what is this whole concept with bitachon, with trust? Why am I requested to trust Hashem? How much am I requested to trust? Where is it? Where is the fine line between trusting and I have to do something? I mean, I'm trusting that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to feed me, so I shouldn't go look for a job. I'm just going to wait for the mailman to come with a check. I mean, what is the definition of trust? So I read a very interesting story. It's not really, it's a story, but I read it in one of the letters that the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to answer people. And many people used to send the Lubavitcher Rebbe questions, and he would answer them back. So they took all those answers, and they made books out of it. And it's very interesting to read, just to see what the tzaddik answers. So I came across a question of a certain individual who was a shochet. Shochet, a person who slaughters animals for parnasa. And if you are familiar, a lot of these farms that grow animals, especially in America, they're in very, very, in the middle of nowhere. They're not in the middle of New York. They're in the middle of nowhere. They find a deserted land, and that's where the cattle is, and that's where they slaughter all the animals. So this individual found a good job. He was a very good shochet, a very good slaughter. And his father, unfortunately, died. So he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av, and he wanted to say Kaddish. Now, in order to say Kaddish, you have to pray three times a day, in a minyan. And not only that, some people have the custom that when they are in the first year and they say Kaddish, they go to become the Chazan. So he's in the middle of nowhere. There's no minyan there. So he writes a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he tells him, what should I do? Should I not do Kibud Av and I can't say Kaddish, but I'm holding my job and I have to sustain my family? I mean, not only that I have to sustain my family, I took on myself to pay for the burial and for the tomb to the stone, and nobody has money and it's very expensive, so I took on myself to pay for it. So, or should I not do that? Should I move back into the city? I'm not going to have a job, and I don't know how I'm going to sustain my family, but I can say Kaddish every day, and I can stand, I can pray as the Chazan. So what do I do here? Do I do the mitzvah of Kibud Av, and I say Kaddish, and I put myself in a position that I don't have a job, or should I just count on the fact that my brothers will also say Kaddish, and I'll stay in this faraway town, and I'll continue having parnasa, sustenance, and I can also pay for the burial like I took on myself. So the answer was very interesting. The answer was that according to halacha, he has to stay in that town and work. And as long as he knows that the brothers will say Kaddish for the father, then he has no obligation in putting his parnasa in jeopardy. And he has to stay in that town. And yeah, he's not going to be able to pray every day in a minyan and say Kaddish. But the brothers will say Kaddish, and he can put his parnasa in jeopardy. So that was according to halacha. That was the answer according to the oral Torah. But then there was an addition. And the addition was that if you have full trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he will take care of you, then move to the city and do the mitzvah of Kibud Av, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu already will find you parnasam and make sure that everything will work exactly how you need. So he gave him here two very interesting answers. One is according to halacha. You know, you shouldn't put your parnasah in jeopardy. You can't trust a miracle. You can't wait for a miracle. That's according to halacha. He gave him an answer from a rabbi, this is the answer. But the addition was very interesting. If you have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu that He will take care of you, then move back to the city so you can do the mitzvah, and Hashem already is going to take care of you. So we learn from that something very, very interesting, that we have control over our, so to say, destiny. I can put my trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu to such a level that I actually will control what will be the outcome. And as the famous saying of the Baal Shem Tov, think good, it will be good. So from that we come to a different question. If this is the case, how is this whole thing with bitachon works, with faith, with trust? It means that everything I want to happen will happen. If I want now to win the lottery, that's it. I'll have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu and that I will win the lottery. That doesn't make much sense. Because if I have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we just said that I can control my destiny, so to say, then it means that whatever I want to happen will happen. Which is not necessarily the option. But what's the other option? That I can constantly be sure that everything will be good? How can I can constantly be sure that everything will be good? Because sometimes there's things that are bad. I mean, how can I constantly be sure that everything will be good? You know, we're taking the saying of the Baal Shem Tov, Tachshov Tov, Yeh Tov, think good, it will be good. But I'm only going to think, okay, I'm going to think good, and today somebody's going to come through the door now and give me $10,000, and tomorrow somebody's going to come and give me his home, and what? Everything's going to be good? I just have to think that it's going to be good? So that's also a big question. How am I requested to have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu and know that everything will be good? I mean, we know that things can also not be good. What if I chas v'shalom do a sin? There's going to be a reaction if I do a sin. Right? We know. There's a concept of sachar ve'onesh. If I do a sin, there's going to be a reaction. I mean, some people will call it a punishment. I just like calling it a reaction. But if I do a sin, there might be a consequences, and that might not be good. I mean, we know, our sages teach us that sometimes a person can do a certain sin and he can damage his parnasa, or chas v'shalom, his health or anything. So how far am I trusting this, supposed to trust that everything will be good? I mean, even if you look at Yaakov Avinu, who was a tzaddik, and not only that, Yaakov got a promise from the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he will take care of him. And as he was walking to meet Esav, he was scared. Not only did he was scared, he did leyeter bitachon, just in case. He put one camp in the side. Here he prepared for war. Here he prepared for presents. He was scared. You know why Yaakov was scared? Because he was afraid. He says, Shema garam achet. Maybe I did something. I don't know what I did. Maybe it was wrong that I married two sisters. Maybe I did something. Maybe I did gezel with Lavan. Maybe I had a sin. And now I put myself in jeopardy. Maybe chas v'shalom, Esav will hurt me. So it's a kind of a catch-22 here. What? I'm putting all my trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then I'm saying, okay, everything will be good. But what if something was not going to be good? Sometimes Hashem puts us through what's called a nisayon. I mean, sometimes Hashem takes my job away, Hashem takes something away. How am I requested to constantly have this bitachon? It's a very big question. Besides the fact that most of us don't have the bitachon. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehiyah Bedaro. Now, first of all, just that we understand, we are born with this bitachon, this trust. We are born with that. We are born with emunah, with faith, and we are born with bitachon. That's just to, first of all, put the details on the table. It's not. Don't think that it's something that you need to develop. You have it. You just need to expose it. You need to bring it out to the surface. But just that we know, we are born with emunah, and we are born with bitachon. I always give the same example. Take a baby. Baby comes out of the womb. You give him something to eat. He doesn't ask you if it's kosher or not. He doesn't ask how you made it. He will eat it right away. That's because he has 100% emunah, belief in his mother. And you see little kids, they'll walk around, they'll come to the edge of the stairs, they'll just walk. They have bitachon, that mommy will catch them. One might explain it that they don't have intelligence, they don't have da'at, they don't understand that it might be danger. Doctors will tell you their eyesight is not developed, they can't see difference of heights. Okay, there's many different explanations why a baby will just continue going. But the reality is that he has 100% trust that mommy will catch him. Or daddy, or abba, it doesn't matter who. Babies, they have bitachon. Whatever you tell the baby to do, he'll do. Because he trusts you. So we're born with that. Now the problem is that we lose it down the line. We lose our faith and we lose our trust because people hurt us, people lie to us. And then the individual already loses his bitachon and his emunah. But the reality is that we are born with that. Now, we want to know everything about bitachon. That's my question. I want to know why is the Torah requesting me to have bitachon? And more than that, Hashem is constantly testing me. I mean, we know that's a very pretty common thing, that Hashem tests me all the time. Leman yinasotcha Hashem. Hashem is testing me. Even though I'm not happy with these tests, every morning I pray to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'al tavien li de nisayon, don't bring me to a nisayon. But there's this game that Hashem constantly is testing me and pushing me and pushing me and pushing me to see when I'll crack, so to say, or how much bitachon I'm going to have. So what's this game? Now, this parasha comes and gives us the answer. Now, first we have to understand that as a nation, we are full of miracles. If you look at the last 5,777 years, we have experienced as individual and as a nation thousands of miracles. The only problem is that most of the miracles are not commemorated or not. There's nothing is done to remember them, so to say. For example, one out of many. If you remember, there was a war that Yeshua was leading, and it was a very big war against the Knanim, and suddenly he was seeing that he's losing the war, and the sun was going down, and he was saying, if the sun will go down, it will be dark, I'm not going to win the war, and it was a big miracle. The sun stopped where it was, and there wasn't any darkness. Shemesh begivon dom, pitom, the sun stopped, the sun stops. And of course, Yeshua wins the war. And that's it. I mean, the sun stopped. That's a pretty serious miracle. This is not that somebody had a cough and the cough was over and you say it's a miracle. This is a serious miracle that the Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped the sun from its course. But we see that there's no place in the Torah that we commemorate it. We don't say anywhere, Zecher l'nes shel Yeshua. Let's remember the miracle of Yeshua. But on the other hand, there are some miracles that we can't stop praising them and commemorating them. And one of them is the miracle that we experienced when we left Mitzrayim and we sang it in this parasha. It's called Parashat Haman. The man came down from the heavens, and that was a pretty serious miracle, that every day for 40 years, food will come down from the heavens, thousands, more like hundreds of thousands, go out to the fields, take their food, they have enough to feed the entire family, and at the end of the day it disappears and it rots and that's it, and the next day the same thing, 40 years. Thousands of times this miracle happens. So we see this miracle is, we actually constantly talk about it. And not only did we talk about it, half of the rituals that we do on Shabbat is to commemorate this miracle. We eat two loaves of bread. First of all, we have three meals on Shabbat that we have to eat. We have to eat a meal on Friday night, we have to eat a meal Saturday day, and we have to eat a third meal between Mincha and Arvit. And these three meals are because it's mentioned in Parashat Haman, three times it says the word Hayom. So our sages learned from that we have to do three meals on Shabbat. So we have to eat Shalosh Seudot, three meals on Shabbat, and this is because of the miracles. And not only that, we have to have a second piece of bread, lechem mishneh. That's because on Friday they used to go out to the field and they had two portions, one for Friday, one for Saturday. So we see that, first of all, another thing is that we have to eat on bread. If I eat on Shabbat a meal and I just ate pretzels or cucumbers, that's not considered a meal. I have to eat bread. In order for me to be yotzeh in three meals on Shabbat, I have to wash my hands and eat bread. Why? Because it says that the man, we corresponding to the man, that's why we have had the bread. So we see that we took this miracle and our entire existence on Shabbat is around this man. Everything is around the man. You know, there's somebody asked me not too long ago why we cover the bread on Shabbat. So, okay, there's one explanation that since we're doing Kiddush on the wine, and technically we should have done Kiddush on the bread, so for the bread not to get offended, so to say, so we cover the bread. So the wine gets a bracha and the bread gets a bracha. But a more interesting reason why we cover the bread on Shabbat is because when the man came down, it was covered with a layer of dew. And then they would take the Jew off, and then take the man away. Like they would peel the man. So we do the same thing, and we cover the bread with a cover, like the Jew that covered the bread. So we see that we have three mitzvot, three things that we do on Shabbat because of this man. First of all, that we have to have three meals. Then we have to have bread, because the Torah calls man bread, lechem min hashamayim. And that we have to have two pieces of bread, lechem mishneh. So here we have a miracle that we don't commemorate at all. And here we have a miracle that I'm obligated. And if I didn't eat one of these meals, I'm not fulfilling this mitzvah of three meals a day on Shabbat. And if I do not have two breads, I can't actually even, I have to have a lechem mishneh. So what are we learning from this man? What is this man coming to tell me? And what has that got to do with me? Now man is the food that they had in the desert. Now the man was not bread, and the man was not anything in particular. Our sages actually say that whatever they wanted to be, that's what it was. Today you wanted sushi, you would have in your mind, I want it to be sushi, and the man tasted like sushi. And tomorrow you want a steak, so today you're thinking, okay, now I want the man to taste like steak. Really, it's, you know, our sages say it was like kind of like a liquid, kind of like honey. It says that it looked like, you know, thick like honey, and it was like a little bit liquid. But the taste was however I wanted it to be. So what is this concept? What is this man coming to teach me? The man is coming to teach me something very simple that Hashem is telling me, trust me. The same way that the Jews in the desert trusted me for 40 years, I want you to trust me. That's what I want. I just want you to trust me. I want you to trust me, and I want you to be confident that whatever I need to take care of, I will take care of. There's a deal between us. You are required to follow my Torah, to do mitzvot, and to learn Torah. I will sustain you. I will give you whatever I need to give you. I brought you to the world. I will take care of you. And that's what the man is coming to teach me. That I need to trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there's a story once of a woman that her husband passed away. And when did he decide to pass away? A day before she gives birth to her child. And of course, it was a big tragedy. Everybody comes to pay their respects, and nobody knows what to how to help her. And then, you know, of course, big tragedy. Her husband dies the day before her son was born. Anyways, the son is born, and everybody comes. Whatever we'll do, we'll help you. And she says, "No, I have 100% trust. I have another man." Don't you have another man? So she tells, "Yes, I have another man." She says, "Man, not man. Man in Yiddish is a husband." So she says, I have another man. I'm not worried. So they don't understand what she's saying. What do you mean you have another man? So she says a quote that we don't really know where it's originated from, but the quote says, man de yahiv mezone, chaye, yahiv mezone. The one who gave me life will give me mezonot, will give me food. So she says, I have another man. The funny part here is that man in Yiddish is a husband, and they did not understand what she's saying. But she says, man de yahiv chaye, the one who gave me life, yahiv mezone, will give me mezone, will give me food. So Hashem is basically telling us, I want you to get used to trusting me. And this whole parasha of the man is that Hashem wanted us at the time to go to sleep with an empty fridge. Because really what we're constantly worried about, how am I going to get food? This is the main scare in somebody's life. If chas v'shalom I have to be homeless for a day or a week, okay. But at least where am I getting my food? And we talked about last week in the class about the month of Shvat, and it's all about the food and the concept of consuming food and the entire concept of eating constantly in my mind. What am I going to eat? You're going on a vacation. Where are we eating? What are we eating? What's for dinner? What's for lunch? Constantly in our mind is food. That really, we constantly, our scare, so to say, is where am I going to get my next money? So, yeah, we use money for rent and we use money for many other things. But really the most important thing is food. And constantly the scare that people have is where am I going to get my next paycheck for food? What am I going to eat? So that's why comes the parasha of the man and Hashem says, no, I want you to trust me. I want you to go to sleep with an empty fridge. Because that's what happened. They used to take the man, eat it, and they wouldn't know what's going to happen the next day. But for 40 years they had unbelievable trust that the next day, they get up in the morning, blindly, they go out to the field, and there's food. That is 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the whole concept of the man, that Hashem says, just trust me. Trust me, I will take care of you. And the thing is that since the beginning of day, we had the exact same thing. I mean, now we have jobs. 500 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, I would have a field, or I would have a cow. Or I would have had a few chickens. And if the chicken would not give an egg today, I would have a problem. How am I going to eat? How am I going to trade my egg with you giving me some flour? So we relate to it with money. We relate to it to jobs. And we relay, unfortunately, in some situations, I rely on my boss. I rely on the government to give me my assistant. I rely on a family member to give me something. And who am I really trusting? Am I trusting the government agency to give me my assistance? Or my boss, if he's going to fire me or not? Really, Hashem is saying, no, this is the nisayon, this is the test, I want you to trust me. And the whole concept of trust is hidden in this parasha of the man. Now, what is really the concept of this bitachon, of this trust? Why is Hashem wants us to trust him? And how far can I actually take this trust? Now, of course, there's a big question. If I'm requested to trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu 100%, and Hashem says, trust me, I will take care of you. One can come and argue, wait, I see many people who are either tzaddikim, righteous, or very, very God-fearing people, that I would consider them as a righteous person, and I see something bad happens to them too. So, how are you asking me to trust Hashem, and also somebody that seems to me very righteous, something bad happens to them? So, I don't understand. One way you're telling me, trust me 100%, so I will, but then I see that the ones that really, really trust you, they're also experiencing bad things. So this question was presented many, many times to many, many different sages, of course. This is a big question. In one way, you come and you tell me, trust me, blindly. But then I see this tzaddik, something bad happened to him. That tzaddik, something happened to him. This individual, something bad happened to them. So So I found a very interesting answer that the Chafetz Chaim once gave. And he said that once there was a synagogue, and a person walks into the synagogue, and he's new in the neighborhood, and he sits there in the back, and comes, it was a Saturday, comes the time that they take the Sefer Torah out, and it's time to call the people up to the Torah. So the Gabbai calls one person from that corner for the first one, then he calls another person from that corner for the second one, then he calls somebody from the front for the third one, and he, no order. Guy's like sitting from the side, and he's like, "What's going on here? Why is this Gabbai? He's calling different people. I see no order here." So he says, "Okay, I'm new here. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut." Comes the following week, the next Shabbat, sees the exact same thing. The Gabbai calls one person from there, one person from there, one person from there. Okay, he gets annoyed again. Comes the next Shabbat. Sees the exact same thing. This time he decides, I'm not gonna keep quiet. He comes up to the Gabbai and he says, "What's going on here? What's your system? What is your system? One time you're calling that guy, one time you're calling this guy. I see there's no order here. There's no seder. What's going on here?" So the Gabbai was a very smart person and he says, "Listen, you are new here. You don't know our system. You can't know our system by coming here 2-3 times. I know the congregation, and I know that on this Shabbat, this individual has a yahrzeit, he needs to get an aliyah. And on this week, that person has a birthday, he needs to get an aliyah. And on this week, that person has something that happened to him, he has to say a gomel, he needs to get an aliyah. I know everybody here, and I know who needs to get an aliyah at the right time. But you don't know my system, because you're new here. You don't know the congregation. You don't know the people who pray here. I'm here for 30 years. I know everybody. So I have a system. You just came here and it seems to you like I'm just throwing out names." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "We come here to this world for 30 years, 50 years, 60 years. We don't know the system. We don't know what's going on here. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, he knows everybody for 5,000 years. He knows who needs to get what, who needs to chas v'shalom get a little bit of smack on his tuchis. Maybe he did something wrong from a previous reincarnation. This person needs to go through something. Hashem knows the system inside out. We come here for 40, 50, 60 years and we think, what's going on here?" So the same way like the Gabbai said, you don't know our system, we also don't know the system. So I cannot come and say, why is this person looks to me very righteous and something bad happened to him? I don't know. Hashem has cheshbonot, very big and long accounts. And I might look in this generation as a tzaddik, but I don't know who that person was in a previous reincarnation. Maybe in a previous reincarnation he has a very big debt. Maybe he has to go through something. The point is that we don't know. We cannot point a finger on a person who looks like a tzaddik and says, how come the tzaddikim also get punished? Or he had trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu by being righteous, and he was also punished. So really, we can't really pinpoint and say, what's going on here? We have to understand that Hashem has his accounts, he has his cheshbonot, and Hashem does what he needs to do. And we can't come and try to analyze the situation. But the reality is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to trust me. I have a deal with you. I brought you to this world. Man de yahiv chaye, I gave you life, I'll give you mezonot, I'll give you sustenance. Don't worry, you have to trust me. Now, so we want to know, we kind of want to analyze what's this concept of bitachon. So there are two, so to say, methods that explain what is bitachon. One of them is based on the teachings of Chovat HaLevavot, that he says bitachon is that I trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu 100%. Doesn't matter what's going to happen, I trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu, good or bad, I trust Him. If it's bad, I'm trusting it that it's good. I just, they say in Israel, Rosh Bakir. I trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's bad, I have to suffer, it's all good. That's coming from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is called Roga. I don't care, the world will fall apart. I'm calm. I don't care. Very low blood pressure. My mom always tells me, "You seem always so calm." He says, "Yes, I have low blood pressure. Nothing in the world moves me. There's a storm. Okay, so it's supposed to be a storm. There's a war. It's supposed to be a war. There's Iran building nuclear bombs. Let them build nuclear bombs. They have control. Hashem is in control. I'm going to worry about a few Persians building a nuclear bomb? No. Why should I worry? I'm calm. It's all in the hands of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Something is going to happen. It has to happen. Good or bad. I'm not saying bad things are not going to happen. I'm just calm. I just live my life. I don't care. That's one method of having bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is one of them. The other one is a little bit different. The other one is explained by Rashi, and Rashi explains that at the time of the destruction of this first Beit HaMikdash, if you remember the story, Yerushalayim was under siege. And for 3.5 years they didn't have nothing to eat. And there was a lot of problems, there was violence, there was murder, there was a lot of problems going on for 3.5 years. And of course, the people were screaming, "What's going on? What's going to be? What are we going to eat? What's going to happen?" At the time, the prophet at the time was Yirmiyahu. He goes into Beit HaMikdash, he goes into the chamber of the Kohen Gadol, and he tells them, "Can you bring me the jar of the man, please?" You know that they put a little bit of man in the jar. We know that in the Beit HaMikdash, there's all sorts of kelim that they used to use in the Mishkan and in Beit HaMikdash, which right now we don't know where they are. Some people say that Titus took it and it's in the Vatican. And some people say that it's buried under Beit HaMikdash, but very soon when Mashiach is going to come, they're going to pull it out. But it's buried there many things. The Mateh, the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu is there, and all sorts of things that were used. The oil that was Moshe Rabbeinu used to anoint Aaron HaKohen, and many different things. One of the things is they have a jar of man. They took a little bit of man, they put it in a jar and sealed it, and they kept it. So the prophet Yirmiyahu goes into the Kohen Gadol and tells him, "Give me the jar for a second." And he goes out to the people and he says, "Remember this jar? Our forefathers, not too long ago, trusted God for 40 years. And you don't trust Him now that He's going to give us what to eat?" So Rashi says is that the bitachon means it's just to smile and to be happy. Yeah, Hashem is going to take care of things. Not to say, okay, there will be bad and I'm just trusting the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rather saying, no, you can change it. We can change it. We can bomb the nuclear reactor in Iran. We can change it. But how do I do it? By being happy. By being satisfied, by being smiling, saying, "No, Hashem can do anything. I can actually pray now, and I can do something, a certain action, and the bad decree will change." I mean, we know that decrees cannot change. And where do we learn that from? On Yom Kippur, one of our prayers, if you notice, we say, "Utshuva, utzdaka, utfila, ma'avirim et roa gzera." Remember that? We say that about a couple dozen times. And what does it really mean? We say repentance and charity and prayer will remove the severity of the decree. We say ma'avirim et roa gzera. Ma'avir means to move. It doesn't say mevatlim. It doesn't say it cancels. What does it mean ma'avirim? That we can't cancel the decree. If there's a gzera, it has to happen. But we can move it. If the tornado or the hurricane has to hit this city, the tornado can move and go into the ocean and not hit anyone. So that if the decree, if there's midat adin, if the attribute of judgment comes and sues, says no, it has to happen, it has to happen. Hashem cannot annul it. But it can be moved. So we say ma'avirim, we move it. Where do we move it? On somebody else. Somebody else that Hashem will decide who it goes to. So if there's a decree, it cannot be annulled, but it can be moved. So the other way of bitachon is just saying, you know what, No, I'm not going to sit and say here, whatever happens, I'm fine. No, I'm going to initiate something. I can change, so to say, the destiny by believing, by rejoicing, by smiling. Rashi says, "Lismoach, lechayech velismoach." Smiling and being happy. So we have two opinions, two ways how I can apply this bitachon. One of them says, no, bad things will happen. That's the nature of this world, that bad things will happen, but I don't care. I'm just going to let Hashem do what He needs to do, and I'm going to have 100% trust that even the bad is good, and ra, yored min ha-shamayim. They say in Israel, rosh katan, small head, I don't need to worry too much. The other option says, no, no. The bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu is that I can actually change something. Like I said before, that I can actually change the, not remove the decree, but change something. I can sweeten it. I can control my destiny, so to say. So here comes a story that kind of puts it in the right perspective. There was once an individual who goes to a synagogue on Shabbat and he hears the rabbi giving the drasha, and that was on Shabbat of Parashat Aman, and he's talking about bitachon and trust and having trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu and that Hashem is going to give you parnasa, and he's giving a whole drasha about Parashat Aman and how to have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This individual took it very seriously and he says, you know what? This rabbi might be probably is very, very true. I have to have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he said that if I really, really trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu that I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to win the lottery. He goes the next day to his boss. He tells him, I quit. He leaves his job. He goes and buys a lottery ticket. Comes the end of the week, nothing. He didn't win anything. He says, okay, maybe I didn't buy enough lottery tickets. Maybe I had to buy it every day. The next week, he says, okay, he buys every day a lottery ticket. And he does all the calculations with numbers. And he says, that's it. This week I'm winning. I have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm winning. Comes the end of the week, nothing. Nisht. Didn't win anything. He doesn't give up. He has trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The rabbi said, you have to have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The next following week, he buys twice a day. He make all the calculations with the numbers, what would be the good number next to the other number, and he's so into it, and he's quiet, he sleeps very, very well, comes the end of the week, nothing. Again, he doesn't win. Now he's already starting, his bitachon is already shaken. He goes back to the rabbi and tells him, listen, you said that the Jews in the desert for 40 years, they had trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and every day he gave them their food, and you said that if I have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, anything I want will happen. And I went and I quit my job, and I'm playing the lottery, and I'm not winning. So the rabbi told him, listen, no. That was just a nisayon. Next week, I know you're going to win. Now, you're going to win $1 million. How about I give you now $500,000 cash, and next week when you win, you give me $1 million, the million that you won. It's a pretty good deal, no? I'm giving you now $500,000 cash. But the condition is you have to give me $1 million next week when you win. So he was a smart Jew, and he says, I'm offered now the cash, I'll take the cash. So he says, no, give me the $500,000 now. So he tells him, that's why you didn't win the lottery. Because if you would really trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you're winning this week the million, you wouldn't sell it for $500,000. You would wait to get $1 million. That's why you didn't win the lottery. Because you really didn't have the right amount of trust. You trusted, but not all the way. So really...
It's not a problem waiting a week when you know you're getting it.
But he didn't have the right trust, so he was, okay, give me now the $500,000, just in case. And that's why I started the class by saying, just in case. There's a bitachon and there's a yeter bitachon. Sometimes I say, just in case. Give me the $500,000. Just in case it's not going to work. That means there's already a hole in my bitachon. There's not 100%. Now really the bitachon, it all boils down to something very simple that is called midah keneged midah. The level of bitachon that I have, that's exactly what's going to reflect on me. That's how it works. And where do we learn that? Just a few weeks ago we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to the street, and what does he see? He sees an Egyptian hitting a Jew. What does he do? He kills him. We talked about it so many times. He looks both sides, makes sure that there's no cameras, there's no witnesses, and up, and he kills him. Right? We talked about it on Shabbat. He didn't kill him with his hands. He didn't kill him with an axe or a knife. He said, Hashem Eforash, a holy name. Ko v'cho, ko is the, he write it Kaf Vav. Kaf Vav is the numerical value of 26. Same numerical value of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Moshe Rabbeinu said a holy name, killed him. Then said another holy name, and whoop, the ground swallowed him. Okay. The next day he goes out again, and what does he see? Now he sees two Jews fighting with each other. So he says, Rasha, you wicked man, lama takereha, why are you hitting your friend? So one of them tells him, ah, l'argeni ataba, you come to kill me, like you killed the Egyptian yesterday. And then he says, Vayar Moshe. Moshe became very scared. And what does he say? Achen noda davar. Now, it was known. But what I did yesterday, somebody noticed. Now, who are these two Jews? Datam and Aviram. Every time that something good is supposed to happen, Datam and Aviram come to mess it up. They were the leumetze of Moshe and Aaron. Everything is, there's something that is created to oppose it. Zeh leumat zeh bara Elokim. So there was Moshe and Aaron. There was on the opposite side, Datan and Aviram. Constantly they came to cause problems. So these two individuals, they told Moshe, oh, you're coming to kill us too? Like you killed the Egyptian? Now we explained previous week that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Achen noda adavar, now I see that what I did was revealed, is one way of interpreting it that they actually saw that he killed the Egyptian and they were witnesses. We explained a different level that Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, achen noda adavar, now I know why we're in exile, because of Sinat Chinam, because they were fighting with each other. But we're going to stick with this explanation now, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, they saw that I killed the Egyptian and now they know I'm going to get in trouble. How do we know that Moshe was afraid? Because it says very clearly, Vayar Moshe. Moshe became very scared. What are you scared? You scared about these two schnitzes? Schnitz? Yeah, you scared about these two guys? They're going to go and tell you? They're going to go and tell against you? Now what does it say? Right after that, what is the next pasuk that it says? Vayishma Paro. And Paro heard. The rumor went around, and then Moshe was in trouble. Then Moshe had to go back to the palace, and then Paro wanted to kill him, and he had to flee. So really, what do we see here? Moshe comes, kills the Egyptian. The next day, Datan and Aviram tells him, oh, you come to kill us too? And Moshe now gets scared. What is he scared? He's scared that they're going to go and tell on him? So we see here the concept of midah keneged midah, that why is the next pasuk Vayishma Paro? Because Moshe gave the option of it being heard. Why are you afraid of them? If Moshe had 100% bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if he would have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, nobody would know about it. But he had a little bit of a doubt. Achen noda adavar. Vayar Moshe, he was afraid, which means that he gave the opportunity, the option of the bad thing to be known. You understand what I'm saying? If he had 100% bitachon, it wouldn't be told to Paro. He would say, no, I did the right thing. I did what I was supposed to do. I stopped them from fighting each other. I have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing should happen. But he had a little bit of a doubt. Vayar Moshe, he became afraid. Now I'm going to get in trouble because they're going to find out that I killed the Mitzri. Just the fact that he gave the option even that he's going to be in trouble, then he became in trouble. Meaning that the inyan, the concept of bitachon is midah keneged midah. How I look at it, that's how I'm going to receive it. Midah keneged midah is a measurement opposed to a measurement, against a measurement. So the whole concept of this bitachon is that Hashem tells me, you trust me. I want you to trust me. And as much as you will trust me, that's what's going to happen. If you trust me 50%, then I can give you 50%. If you trust me 100%, then you will get 100%. Meaning that if I trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I have a little bit of a crack in my wall, then that is what's giving the option of for something bad to happen. Meaning that if I have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but really 100%, then I'm not even given the opportunity for this thing to actually happen. And this is the whole concept of the bitachon, of the trust. Hashem says, first of all, trust me. Trust me. I can do whatever I want. I fed the Jews 40 years in the desert. I can feed you 40 years. I can do whatever I want. I can turn the ground upside down. But have trust in me. And according to the level of trust that you have, kamayim apanim al apanim. That's how it's going to come to you. Kamayim apanim al apanim means, you know, this is what Shlomo HaMelech says, kamayim apanim al apanim. Once, today in our days, we're looking into a mirror. In the olden days, you wanted to see how you look into the river, to see the reflection. And panim is a face. If I look in the mirror now and I smile, so the person in the mirror will smile back at me. That's how it works. If I will frown, then the person in the mirror will frown at me. This is the concept of kamayim apanim al apanim. So Hashem says, kamayim apanim al apanim. Whatever you do, that's what's going to reflect back at you. You have like this trust, that's how it's going to come back at you. And if you have 100% trust, then you don't have to have the method of Chovat HaLevavot that says, the world can fall apart, I'm ragua, I'm calm. That's okay. But no, take the other method. That I can initiate the level of trust, and what I will initiate, I actually have control over my destiny. Exactly in the same example with the Shochet, he says, yeah, you can stay in your job, but if you have so much trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going after a mitzvah, Hashem will find you a new job. So I want to take from that the Kadosh Baruch Hu just tells me very clear, trust me. This is what the parasha is coming to teach me. Trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. But then he comes and tells you, you want to know how much I can do? According to how much you will trust me. If you trust me like this, I'll give you like this. If you trust me like that, I'll give you like that. And it's not coming from a mean place. It just says, the more I will lay out, that's what I will get. Now we want to take something even a little bit more, one more step in, and we want to take David HaMelech's advice. And David HaMelech says, Abotech BeHashem, Chesed Yisovevenu. The one who trusts Hashem, kindness and mercy, Chesed, will surround him. Meaning that if I have 100% trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, only Midat HaChesed is going to surround me. There's not going to be any judgment. And if there's any judgment, then the Chesed will sweeten the judgment. But it all depends on the trust. How much trust I have in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now a lot of times people will say, oh, I have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I trust him. But you trust him like the person with the $500,000 with the lottery. Give me now the $500,000. Just in case. So it's not 100% trust. Because if you had 100% trust, you wouldn't give me $500,000. You will wait for the $1,000,000. So what is required from us is to have trust in Hashem. This parasha comes to teach me that I have to have trust. This parasha is actually known to have a very big and strong remedy to building the trust. Some people read it every day. It's called Parashat Haman. Some people don't read it every day. They read it once a week. But
it's in the Siddur?
Excuse me?
It's in the Siddur?
Yeah, it's in the Siddur. Some Nosachim, it's in the prayer of Parashat Haman. Some people don't, so they just read every day, Parashat Haman.
It starts today.
Well, it's in this parasha. It's not in today's reading, but it's in Parashat Beshalach. And this has the remedy of empowering the trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the reality is, what we want to take from this for this week is that we have this trust in me. I'm born with it. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly puts tests? Why constantly have these tests in my life? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to see how much you trust me. And I want you to prove to yourself that if you trust me, it will work out. Now, it's almost like, you know, when you come to, I don't know if anybody of you ever skydived or did bungee jumping or one of these scary things. You want to do it, but I'm afraid. Maybe the string will tear. Or maybe the parachute is not going to open. It means I don't have 100% trust. Now, the minority of people skydive or do bungee jumping. But try it once. Go do skydiving. It's pretty fun. It's actually very fun. But you have this moment of how much if you trust if the parachute will actually open. So the point is that we have trust, but when it comes to push comes to shove, no. How many times a person goes to an operation, he has trust, but he's still scared. Very few people will go to the operation with a smile, yeah, put me to sleep, I'm totally fine. No, people are afraid. You go to a minor treatment in the doctor, you're afraid. Why are you afraid? You're not trusting that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to cure you? That he's going to make things happen? You go in the morning to your job, you're not trusting that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide for you? So we constantly be tested. We are tested with this trust. The point I want to take from that, hold on for a second. The point I want to take from that is the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells me, trust me, I have a deal with you. I brought you to this world. I have a deal. You do your part, I'll do my part. What I want to take from that is that I'm only required to trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's how much I'm trusting. And I have to put it to the test. And at some point in my life, I have to say, that's it, I'm trusting the Kadosh Baruch Hu blindly, 100%, knowing that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come through, and it's going to work out, and it will work out. And if it didn't work out, it means that I didn't have enough trust. And if it works out, it's only because my trust was, okay, 100%, I'm trusting. When you start cooking something, you cut the chicken, you whatever it is, you put it in the oven, you trust that in an hour later, the chicken will be ready. Nobody says, oh my gosh, maybe it's not going to be ready. What's going to happen? I don't know. You put it in the oven and you trust. You say, okay, in an hour, I'm opening the door, we have dinner. Why? Because it worked previous times. If you're going to have a doubt if it's going to be ready, trust. Try it. It might not be ready. But it will be ready because that's how things work. So the same way that you trust the chicken to be ready in an hour, and you trust, you put the clothes into the washing machine, you know it's going to be clean when it comes out. It's going to be, for sure it's going to be wet. I don't know if it's going to be clean, but it's going to be wet. Some things, it's like nature in our mind, we're going, I know. So much more so when it comes to many other things, especially when it comes to my parnasah, because my parnasah, my sustenance is the basics for everything. This is where Kadosh Baruch was asking for my trust. Mainly is my parnasah, my sustenance. And Kadosh Baruch says, just trust me. I fed the Jews 40 years. Millions of people had what to eat. You will have what to eat. And the more you will trust me, pitom you'll see a bonus from the boss. Pitom you'll see this comes in, that comes in. It's all about the trust. And David HaMelech says, Abotech v'Hashem chesed yisoveveno. Trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is going to be 100% perfect. And we're just going to end with one short story that I came across. Tonight is Yud Shvat. Yud Shvat is when the previous Lubavitch Rebbe passed from this world. And it's also the day that the Lubavitch Rebbe became the Rebbe of the movement of Chabad. There are many other things that happen on Yud Shvat. One of the things that happened, which is not necessarily close to everybody, but the famous Rashash, it's also his Yahrzeit. He was the head of the yeshiva of the Mekubalim. He's a very big tzaddik. But anyways, many big things happen on Yud Bishvat, but since it has to do with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I read a beautiful story about Bitachon that I want to share with you. There was a certain individual who was a secular individual, and they could not get pregnant for many, many years. He was a businessman. This individual was a French guy, and he visited America, And somebody told him, listen, there's a very big tzaddik in Brooklyn, why don't you go and visit him? He's going to give you a bracha. So he says, what am I going to lose? He's not a religious person, but he decided to go, and he got a bracha from the Lubavitch Rebbe, and sure enough, his wife became pregnant. So, that's it. He was sold. The unfortunate reality came that many years later, the girl was a teenager, and one day she comes home and she tells her parents, I have a strong headache. They take her to the doctor, and the doctor says, unfortunately, there's a tumor. And there are two options what can happen. Either we can operate to try to remove the tumor, but there's a very good chance she's not going to wake up. Or she maybe will have half a year to live. That's not good news to get. They don't know what to do. So, happened to be that this individual was on business, and again he found himself back in New York. So somebody told him, why don't you go to the Lubavitch Rebbe? He helped the first time, no? Go see what he has to say. He goes to Brooklyn, he asks to see the Rebbe, and they let him in. The whole thing happened on the month of Adar. The answers that the Rebbe used to give were very short. He didn't give long answers. So the Rebbe just told him, this is the month of Adar, it's the month of being Besimcha, and this is the month that is what's called Venahafochu, and the Rebbe goes like this. And he says, Venahafochu! He sends him out. Of course, he was so excited, you know, just seeing the Rebbe and getting the to talk to him. He goes out of the room, he's like, oh, I forgot to ask about the operation. I came to ask if to do the operation or not to do the operation. He knocks back on the door, and he says, I didn't ask about the operation. So the rabbi says, I answered. I answered you already. And he sends him out. And he's like, answer me. He didn't answer me. He told me just to be happy. And he just said, this is the month of Adar, and the motion, the koach of Adar is on Afocho. I didn't get my answer. He gets so upset now. Of course, now this is not, you can't just walk in and out from the room of the Lubavitch Rebbe. So he goes to one of the secretaries. Long story short, he writes on a note, they put it into the room again, and the Lubavitch Rebbe says, I already answered him. But if he really needs again the answer, then should get a third opinion. If he did not understand my answer, get a third opinion, go to another doctor. Okay. They go to another doctor. The other doctor says, you should operate. Okay. So they go and operate. They open up the brain, the skull. The doctor says, there's nothing here. We shouldn't have operated. There's nothing here. They close it up. Now there's a problem. She didn't wake up. Okay. After a lot of prayers and crying, she wakes up, but without a memory. And she can't talk. And she's paralyzed. They cut their head open. Okay, now it's even worse. Now I shouldn't have operated. Why did I operate? Long story short, comes Pesach. Now, the custom of the Baal Shem Tov is the eighth day of Pesach is conducted a seuda, a meal that is called Seudat Mashiach. Because the Baal Shem Tov explained that on the eighth day of Pesach, the light, the shine of Mashiach is revealed in the world. And many Hasidim have the custom to do what's called the Seudat Mashiach, that we drink four cups of wine and we eat matzah and we rejoice and we sing. Why? Because the light of Mashiach is shining on the eighth day of Pesach. So this individual is all what the turmoil that he's going through. His daughter woke up from the operation, but she's not speaking, she has no memory. He comes to this Suda. He comes up again to the Rebbe. The Rebbe gives him two pieces of matzah. And he tells him, the Zohar says, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Zohar that the matzah in the first day of Pesach is the food of Emunah. The bread of Emunah. And on the second night of Pesach is the bread of Refuah, of healing. You take now these two pieces. You take one piece and eat it because you don't have Emunah. And you give the other piece and you give it to your daughter to have Refuah. Sure enough, he eats his piece of matzah and he gives the daughter the piece of the matzah, and the story was a good ending. She woke up, she regained her memory, she regained her ability to talk and walk, and she was 100% cure from what happened to her. And the story was that the Rebbe told him, you have to eat your piece because you didn't have emunah. I told you not to operate. I told you that this is the month of miracle. All you need to have is trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu and to rejoice and to be besimcha. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu will do v'nahafochu. It will change completely and nothing's going to happen. And you were persistent and you did not have enough trust. So you went to the third opinion, you operated, and now Hashem was testing your emunah. So you have this piece, that now you will have emunah, and next time you come to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik tells you, don't worry, we'll be okay, you will believe. So we learn from that, that first of all, we don't wish for anyone to come to this situation. But what I want to take from that is that if I have 100% emunah, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu will make something happen, it will happen. I have to believe and have the trust that something can change. And I do. And I'm so powerful that if I have 100% emunah, not 99%, it has to be 100%, Kadosh Baruch Hu will change the situation. I have control over my destiny. And to take it the next level, if I believe, ani ma'amin, be'emunah shlema, be'viyat ha-mashiach, if enough people will believe 100% that Mashiach is going to come, Mashiach will come. The problem is that we obviously don't really believe. We are not holding in the level that we believe that Mashiach can come today. We talk about it and we say, yeah, yeah. I don't believe that many people really believe that today Mashiach can come. And if I will bring out in me this power of emunah and trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of all my problems. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide to me my sustenance. And everything that seems to be bad can be changed. And more than that, if I have 100% emunah, that's why it says, Ani ma'amin beviyat ha-mashiach. It doesn't say, Ani boteach. I trust. Ani ma'amin. I believe. I know. If I know that Mashiach can come today, and I have 100% trust, He will come today. The problem is that, oh no, I didn't finish my business deal. I have to finish my remodeling of my home. I didn't finish the masechta that I wanted to finish. I didn't do enough things. So I don't believe that Mashiach can come today because I'm pushing it one day later because I still have to finish things. That's why in our generation, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is already creating problems to everybody that we will know. It's not about solving the problems. It's about bringing Mashiach. But always requested from me is to have trust. Hashem just says, Bitchubi, trust me. And this is the parasha that gives us the power, and this week we can take this power of bitachon, take on myself that I would read this parasha taman every day to build my bitachon, that I trust, I go with trust. Gam gelech begetz al mavet, even if I go in the valley of the shadow of death, lo yirara, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Katai madi, you're next to me. Hashem is with me. Hashem is with me, I'm not going to fear anything. That's what I want to take from this parasha. That's what I want to carry with me for the rest of the week. That will empower this power of bitachon in me to carry me for the rest of the year. And with having the right bitachon Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bezrat Hashem, enough people will have the trust that He will send to us Melech HaMashiach. And that should happen very soon in our days. Bezrat Hashem should have a beautiful week. And a very successful task in bringing out this power of bitachon out to the obvious.